Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's segment of Backyard Labrish. As you know, we gather each week, each Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the backyard, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And as you know, I'm always asking you to take a virtual tour with me back to the island. Now, this evening, I'd like to introduce you to a wonderful way of taking this virtual trip, because we'll be visiting the Moods channel. That, I just love that name. Because, you know, we can change anything. You know how they say we can change our lives. Well, now this is a wonderful place to change our moods. So just give me 1 minute while I introduce you to the Moods channel, where you can go anytime you want to get yourself in the right mood. So just breathe and listen to this for a quick second as you transport yourself to your favorite cheer, your favorite area in Jamaica that you would just chill and relax. So with the compliments of the Moods channel, just get there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have arrived at your destination, whether it's on the beach, in a hammock, on top of the roof, in the backyard, or just on the front veranda. I hope you're relaxed, de-stressed, and you're ready for the labrish. Because as you know, all my fans know that we have been not only taking a virtual trip every week for the past couple of weeks, but we're going way back in our memory banks as our senior guests have shared with us all the wonderful memories they have of their school days. And tonight is no different. We have a special guest tonight who's going to be transporting us way back to whenever he can remember. So if you received my promo, you know that tonight his high school or his college was Michael. So we are going to be celebrating that this evening and asking the fans on the board, whenever you would like to interact with our guests or with just add something to the program, remember the way you do it is to hit 1 on your telephone, and that will let me know that you want to interact, because that's what Labrish is all about. And for the listeners who are listening online, I'm sorry I'm not able yet to interact with you, but I hope you'll just relax and enjoy the show. So without any further ado, I hope you're all settled, and whatever the stress of the week was, you're relaxed, because when we get together with friends, part of what we want to do is to just, you know, relax and chill. No problem, Mon. So I see that my special guest, Mr. Desmond Green, is on the line with us, and I'm going to open up the mics to him and welcome him to the Labrish. So good evening, Mr. Desmond. Are you there?
I am certainly here, Margaret, and I'm feeling so at home. I wonder if this is where I've always been for all my life. It feels so comfortable.
Oh, yes. Well, if you're back in your favorite whatever that you would go to in your younger days when you just wanted to enjoy the beautiful nature we have around us in Jamaica. You know, I realize, to diverse a little, that I really never appreciated all the beauty I had around me when I grew up in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. As I look back now, you know, you just sort of took it for granted at the time.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, now we can go back, and now that we're more settled, most of us are retired or more focused, whatever period we are in our lives, we know that we can take time to reflect and remember, and in some cases even have some help to put us in that mood, like we got from the Mood Channel. So without any further ado, let me ask you to introduce yourself to the fans.
Well,
tell us a little bit about who Desmond Green is.
Well, thank you again, Margaret, and thank you for having put this wonderful memory lane in place so that we can travel back and forth from these, wherever we are, back home. But I'm coming from Christiana, if anybody knows Christiana. And that
I don't.
Okay, you're missing out on one of the beauty spots. Because
really?
If you don't know Christiana, and if you haven't been to Christiana, it's not too late. As long as you're alive, it's not too late to go back and see this beautiful place. It's only about 5,000 feet above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm remembering is how cold it used to be in the mornings.
Really?
And we used to go outside as soon as we could get up and see where the sun is. We would go out and warm sun.
Oh, you warm the sun?
Yes, that's what we always did. We warm going warm sun.
Uh-huh.
And it was sweater weather, too, you know, because it was icy cold sometimes.
Now, what parish is this?
This is Manchester.
Oh, Manchester, okay.
Uh-huh. Mandeville being the capital, and Christiana being...
Oh, in the Mandeville area.
Right.
I got it.
Christiana being the very, very tall place. You know, in Manchester, you're either going up one hill or going down one hill. Beautiful place.
Now, how far away is Christiana from Mandeville?
I think about 14 miles, to be exact.
Oh, well, that's, in the old days, that's walking distance.
Yes, I'm sure. But I tell you what, the roads, you see, made it into a very interesting journey down the hills and up the hills. So Christiana was very special. And I hope there are some people who are listening now who can remember Christiana and remember it fondly, especially where...
Are you there?
Me? I'm here.
Okay.
I went to school in Middlesex School. Middlesex Church School.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember the very first day I went to school. I was about 7 years of age at that time. You see, we used to go to school at seven. We spent most of the early years just enjoying nature, enjoying life, enjoying being aware of where we lived. And school didn't start until we were seven.
Oh, really?
Yes, so whatever kind of home schooling was introduced, it was just between parents and older siblings who were in school, and so they would read stories to us and stuff like that. But we weren't concerned with schoolwork. You know, we weren't concerned with reading, writing, and arithmetic at that time. Yes, social skills we were developing.
So it was a church school that you went to?
Went to a church school in the beginning at seven.
Right.
And what I'm remembering is I remember the first person I met at school that day was a monitor. Her name was Mary Rochester.
Isn't that something?
Yes, and she welcomed me, and she was my first contact with the school environment.
Wow.
And it
You keep and, breaking up like you're going away and coming back. Are you there?
I'm here. I think it may have been somebody trying to call.
Oh, I see.
But that will they'll leave a message on the phone. So that's what you're hearing.
Yes. The last thing we heard is that she welcomed you, and then it sort of broke up a little.
Yes. It made that welcome stands up in my mind because it was like it was a safe place because somebody knew me and somebody took the time out to say, be comfortable.
Oh, that's so special.
Yes, indeed. Mm. But school for me was a very interesting experience because in those days, teachers gave their whole heart to the business of teaching you. They were so committed that it didn't matter whether their methods were harsh or not harsh. What was there was the desire for you to learn. If it was possible, they would have cut your head open and put the information in.
So, grab it in. That's
yes. Yes, indeed. And the strap was a very helpful, useful kind of resource for them.
Right. So you had the strap in. A lot of our seniors remember having the cane.
We had the leather strap.
Oh, interesting. You're the first person I hear that talk about the strap.
Yes, yes.
Huh.
And, yes, I can see Teacher Limonius now. Those who remember Teacher Limonius.
Uh-huh. That's a male or a female?
Male.
Uh-huh.
But he had... He set the standard for what I call seriousness about learning.
Mm.
So all of his assistant teachers, I remember Miss Webster, I remember his wife, and I remember not wanting to go past third class into fourth class where he was in charge of fourth, fifth, and sixth class as Teacher Limonius.
Oh, so, and he was also the headmaster?
He was the headmaster.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Now, was he a foreigner or a Jamaican?
He was a Jamaican, yes, yes,
okay,
Jamaican.
All right. And yes. how big were your class that you were, most of them were? How many children?
I think they were all too big. I don't remember the number in those days, but they were big, crowded, you know?
Yeah, and lots of children.
Yes.
Did you wear uniforms?
No, we didn't have uniform. We just wore what our parents were able to find for us.
Interesting. People believe that everybody was doing the same thing all over Jamaica, especially foreigners. You know,
okay.
They're really honest. But as the show evolved around what we're discussing, I have found, I don't know for the rest of the fans, that things were different. You know, there were a lot of things that were the same,
mm-hmm.
but things I'm discovering things that are very intriguing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find that interesting. Back to you then.
Well, basically, I would say the only thing that was important to the teachers was that we came in time, on time, and we were interested in the lessons, in the classes. And believe me, we were inspired to be interested.
One way or the other.
One way or the other. They weren't going to send you home not learning.
Right. Now, how did you get to school?
We walked. We ran to school. I was about a mile. We lived about a mile from school.
Uh-huh.
So we had to get there by 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And there weren't anything like buses or stuff to take you to school. You just ran to school.
Ah.
And you had to get there in time because when 9 o'clock came and you weren't already there for devotion, you would get a paddling.
Oh, with the belt.
With the belt.
Okay.
With the belt.
Mr. Limonius.
Yes, but the fun part about it, though, Margaret, is that recess time and lunch time was really a wonderful time for us.
Why so?
The games we played, we played, we
uh-huh.
played, we played.
Wow!
And,
now, did you have lunch? Did they provide lunch for you?
After a certain period, I think. I think I must have been in the upper classes then when they started to provide the soup kitchen. They had a soup kitchen.
Ah.
And then they provided
and
lunch.
And that you went home for lunch or you took your lunch with you?
Went home for lunch. You see,
in
that 1 hour, you had to go home, have lunch, and get back to school.
Hmm.
And you wanted to go back in time to play too, you know?
Right, right.
So we would go home. I don't know how we did it, but I can see why we were athletic from then.
Mm. Up the hill and down the hill, we'll do it all the time.
That's right. But it was fun.
And it was co-ed, boys and girls?
Oh, yes. Co-ed, boys and girls. We didn't know about separating boys from girls then.
I see.
So that was fun. And you see, you would go to school, go through to sixth class, first class, second class, third class, fourth class, fifth and sixth class. Those who hadn't gone on to secondary schools took the local exams.
Uh-huh.
You had first, second, and third year exams.
Uh-huh.
And if you passed those, it would qualify you to go to a couple places. One of them was farm school.
Uh-huh.
The other one was Michael.
Uh-huh.
And so you did your best to pass your first, second, and third year exams if you wanted to go any further.
Gotcha.
But what's interesting for me was that I did my, what I call my sixth class. I went to sixth class and just didn't want to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to become a cultivator or a farmer.
Ah.
So my brother had land in Shudley, and he gave me about an acre to work for myself.
Uh-huh.
But then my other brother, Ivan, who had gone to Kingston and become an accountant, he came back one day after I'd been into my cultivation and said to me, you know, if you're going to become a farmer, you have to become a big farmer. And so you have to be qualified to do that. So I tell you what, you better go back to school.
Interesting. So
yeah.
What were you on the land? You remember what you were farming?
Oh, yes. Planted yam, especially Negro yams,
uh-huh.
that bore well. And I remember my first Negro yam, my first crop. It was very good and very encouraging.
Wonderful. Now, how big was your family? How many siblings you had?
We had 11 of us.
Wow. Our guest last week was a family of 11, too. It looked like that. It was a good mango number in those years.
Yes. If you had a cricket team, number 11.
Yes. Yeah, she said that her parents had 11 children.
Oh, yes. We had 11. And you see, I was the last one. So I was parented by everybody in the family.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sounds like fun. So what did your dad do?
My dad was a tailor.
Ah.
And my mom was a seamstress.
Uh-huh.
So they were in the sewing business,
uh-huh.
and part of the fun was during Christmas time, she used to sew a lot, you know,
uh-huh.
and it meant a lot for the people in the community.
Didn't know it then, but that was custom made clothes, because
yes.
in those days, the seamstress and the tailor would take the specific measurement of each individual person.
That's right.
And the garments were constructed for that person, not like buying a size 44 or a size 14 or 10.
That's exactly right.
And we just didn't even know how special that was, did we?
That is right.
Oh, my
God.
That is
so right.
And when
yes.
we go back in our memory lane, boy, we have so many things to celebrate. And I just as a sidebar, I'll tell you, when I came up here first
in my very early 20s. I remember going to the store, and they asked to get something. I remember they asked me what size I was. and my eyes must have glowed when the lady looked at me, and she said, "What size are you?"
Uh-oh.
And I said, "I don't know."
Okay.
And
that's right.
They, I suppose, took that as a sign of poverty, I suppose.
Wow.
And she had to look at me and go get something and bring it. I don't even remember what size it was. But now when I looked back, I said, "Oh, my God, nobody has ever asked me that question before in my life."
That's
so
right.
The question sort of took me by surprise. I'm coming from a country where my clothes was made specifically.
Yeah.
And I'm in the store, and they asked me what my size was. And it was a big question, heavy-duty question.
Of course.
That just brought that memory to me. So back to you. So Christmas time, she would be decking out the whole village.
Definitely.
Wow.
And, you know, everybody had to get some new Christmas clothes for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So it was very busy, and you see, I would get to earn a little bit by helping her with the machine, because it was a hand machine. Yes, so I would get to turn the handle, and we didn't know how much of a bonding that was between us and our parents.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because we helped them to do that, and it was for us anyway, but, you know, it was a little extra special.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Yes. So your brother is the one who talked to you about going further with your education.
Going back to school, yes.
Okay.
So I hung up my cutlass and my fork and my hoe, because, you know, I used to, in the morning, it was really nice, believe me. You have your own hoe, your own cutlass, you set your own time. When you go, you weed up your piece of ground, and you dig the hill, yam hill, and I was getting into it. Then he convinced me. So I broke stride with my farming and went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
This was encouraging, though, because it seemed like I had the talent for academic work, because I remember they used to have Ice Tedford. That was an activity, an arts activity throughout the communities.
They used to
do singing, and they used to do art, composition. A whole lot of artistic stuff.
Uh-huh.
And when I went back, I took part in the essay competition.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all of Manchester, you know, the secondary schools, the primary schools, Manchester High, Knox College, all these places. And my little school, Christiana Church School and Elementary School, they asked me to write an essay. And I wrote something. I don't even remember what it was. But the next thing I heard was that I'd gotten first prize in Manchester. It was special, too, because Knox College had entered the competition.
Uh-huh.
And the son of the headmaster there, Louis Davis, and his son got second prize, and I got first prize.
Wow, that's great.
So that kind of spurred me on to get involved more in studying.
And you wrote an essay. I mean, and in those days you wrote it with pen and ink.
Of course.
Ah. Was it the ink that you dip in the pen? I mean,
the,
you know what I mean. The pen that
G is a G nib pen?
G nib, yes. Nobody has mentioned.
You remember the G nib?
Yes, the broadish
yes.
paper look thing, yes. And you push it in the pen.
That's right. The stick.
Oh,
and
wow.
Uh huh.
Yes.
So that was fun. So I went and took first year, and then I passed. Then I took second year, and I didn't get through. I think I must have failed second year the first time. Then I took it again. No. What went on is that I took second year and passed, and then I took third year.
Now, this is at the same school that you went to originally?
Same school.
Oh, good. Okay.
You paid a little bit of money for extra lessons when you could afford it, but the teachers were, you know, they were all into helping you to achieve as much as you could. So they didn't make money into an issue.
All right.
So I took third year and I failed it the first time. Then I took it again and I passed it this time. And so I was ready for the next step. So, you know, in those days, when you took third year and passed third year, it was like a degree.
Ah.
It felt very special and stuff like that.
You know approximately how old you were then?
I think I must have been about 17.
Okay, all right. So you're a teenager. So you were doing the farming thing from you were
16, 14? 15, 14, 15.
Oh, okay.
Because 15 you were supposed to leave school, you know?
Right, right.
At 17, 18, I passed third year, and then it was choosing where to go.
Okay.
So I took the exam, entrance exam for Michael, and got through. And so it was from there to Michael.
Oh, now, did you have any relatives also in Kingston? Because Christiana to Kingston is a long trip, right?
It's a big trip. It's a big trip.
And you're going to live, you're boarding in the school?
Living at Michael, because it was a boarding.
I got you.
Boarding institution. So that was it. And so it was about 3 years. But being at Michael itself was an eye-opener, you know. Leaving country.
Oh, you were a country. No, let me ask you this. Had you ever been to Kingston before that?
Not for any extended period. Maybe once or twice. The first time I went to Kingston, I was 14 years old. Saw Kingston.
And how did you get there from Christiana?
I think either Mr. French's bus, those who remember Pioneer. There's a bus that left Christiana in the morning at about, let's say about 4. Went to Kingston, stayed in Kingston, left Kingston about 2:30, got back to Christiana about 11 at night. Just one bus in the day.
And so it's a one-day trip?
It's a whole-day trip.
Oh, interesting.
And then you had the Enterprise,
which
was Mr. Panton's bus.
That name is familiar.
Uh-huh. Panton, they were heavy into the automotive industry.
I got you.
And so,
what were the roads like? Were the roads fairly good?
good. The lanes, I would say. The main roads were not much bigger than you know.
Yeah.
Then it was big, but now you're realizing it was a little lane.
Yes, I know.
For
kids, things look a lot larger than life.
Oh, yes. And I remember, you know, the buses traveling beside the overlooking the gullies.
Yes.
If you went left or right, you were gone for this lifetime. So it was a very prayerful exercise to go from Kingston to Christiana, from Christiana to Kingston.
I got you, because of the hills and the precipice, as we always call
yeah.
them.
Precipice, oh my Lord. Especially when you went through Clarendon.
Uh-huh.
And went through Maypen. But now you look at it, you realize how priceless it was, you know.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But I'd say, as you rightly said earlier on, there was a rusticness about being in the country and being in Jamaica that was special.
Very special.
Absolutely priceless.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, did you have any siblings at Michael?
No, I was the last one.
Uh-huh.
And my siblings before that, five girls and six girls and five boys.
Uh-huh.
The girls were into getting married and setting up homes, you know, their homes.
Right.
Because then there wasn't any big emphasis on girls
right.
pursuing education.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my sister, who was a very good seamstress, she took after my mother. And I remember how prestigious it was for her to be the dressmaker for the Governor General's wife.
Wow,
and like
of course.
That, you know? So my other sister was a nurse, a nanny.
Uh-huh.
So she had her job. Then my other brothers, the brother I followed, he went into the police force. My eldest brother was a farmer. He loves farming from the day he was born. And he stayed in farming until he came up here to the States. We're at 82, 83 now.
Uh-huh.
He's in his 80s now. And he loves his farming just the same.
Yeah, he's still with you. I mean, he's still here.
Yeah, he is here in Hartford.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Does he have his memories? Does he have some of the memories you have of growing up?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we chat every now and then, you know, and reflect on how wonderful it was to have parents who cared, who were there for us and who cared for us.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
We didn't understand how parents and children quarreled because we didn't have that experience.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, how old were your parents when they passed?
My mother was 66.
That's young.
And my father was 81, 82.
Right, right, right. Also, so now bring us to Michael now. You're there, a country boy.
I'm there, a country boy in Michael. It took a little getting used to it to be there, to make the transition. But the focus again was on paying attention to your studies and doing the best you could. You know?
Right, right.
Which I did. But it was challenging, very challenging, especially, you see, I seem as if I was very civic-minded from then, because when I saw the number of children who were just, you know, just running wild around the college, I decided I was going to form a boys' club.
Ah.
Which I call
and
the Crusaders
Club. And
these
people that are not in Michael.
These are children who were not in Michael.
But just children
who were running around and who needed some guidance.
Right.
So that was for the community aspect.
Uh-huh.
The studies now, that was another thing altogether. So you just had to buckle down and study.
Right.
To get your grades.
Uh-huh. What were the class sizes like then?
In Michael, they were quite good, you know. I would say I remember not more than 20 of us in the class.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. And it was students working with one another, teaching, co-teaching, and a very rich experience. Most of my batchmates, when they left Michael, were very bright students, really. I remember one fellow by the name of Herman. He left Michael, and instead of going on to teaching, he went to med school.
Okay.
A very bright group of us.
Right,
I remember there was about 21 of us who graduated with honors. It was a very special group. Glenn Owen was the principal at that time.
What's the name?
Glenn Owen.
Glenn Owen, okay.
Uh-huh. He passed on sometime earlier. And the culture, the Michael culture, was committed to creating leaders.
Yes. Do you remember what the motto was?
Michael's motto.
Something to do
with
might.
Do it with thy might. Do it
whatever
you're doing.
Do it with thy might.
Yes. Do it with thy might.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. And, you know, I remember a couple years after, it was very clear that there was a Myconian in almost every country in the world doing well.
Oh, yes. They produced quite a few very strong people.
Oh, yes. The governor generals, a couple of governor generals. And it's like it has served Jamaica very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it has quite a history, the school itself. Did you learn much about the history of the school while you were there?
No.
Was it?
No.
Oh. Well,
no.
I'd like to share some, you know, to me, some little tidbits about it, because I found it very fascinating. For the listeners who got my promotion, they'll see that I got that information from Wikipedia, of course. But, you know, it was one of the oldest schools in the Western Hemisphere.
It is.
In terms of a teaching school, too.
That's right.
So, you know, it goes way back.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's in the same location that it was originally.
Yes, very, very much so. I was passing there a couple of weeks ago, and it's the same place.
Right, on Marcus, Marcus?
Morosco Road.
Roscoe Road, yes.
Uh-huh.
But it actually started in 1836.
Yeah, that is right.
But the name Michael goes way back to the 17th century.
Uh-huh.
No, Sir Samuel Michael was an English trader who died in 1666. He left his wealth to his wife.
That's right.
Lady Jane Michael.
Yes.
And her nephew, Samuel.
That's right.
Lady Michael spent much of her fortune on charitable work.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't until June of 1835 that the Lady Michael Charity was established by an Act of Parliament of the United Kingdom. Now,
that's
remember,
right.
This man died in 1666,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
and in 1835, which is quite a long time.
Very long indeed.
Was really established. But because he left his wealth to his wife, who was a charitable person. You know, yeah. I always like to find some virtue in some of these stories. Because,
it
only takes one person with a vision, with a desire, with a passion. I mean, she could have taken our money and done anything.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
But look at this one thing that she started
mm-hmm.
that has touched so many people. I find that amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know,
really go back. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Wherever she is, I want to tell her I appreciate what she did because she has touched my life in a very significant way. Because when you look at it, Margaret, the people who didn't have the money to go on to secondary school or to go on to university,
mm-hmm.
there was very little open to them.
Right.
Because if I hadn't gone to Michael, the other place that was open for me would have been Hope Farm School.
I never even heard of that. Never
uh-huh.
heard of it.
Hope Farm School, which graduated most of our agricultural instructors and field officers.
Got you. I remember the 4-H Club. Is that what it was named? Used to have a lot of events, farm events.
Oh, yes. The 4-H Club was another...
attend.
That was another entity altogether
mm-hmm.
that worked with different groups, young people, the 4-H's, head, heart, hands, and what is it, health, I think. Just working with the regular general young people in a specialized focus on agriculture and other little things that would keep you occupied and keep you focused on the earth and living things.
I got you. Well, let me just take a minute here to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And for the past 4 to 6 weeks, I'm not quite sure, we have been doing a special program called Education in Jamaica in the 40s and 50s. And now we have a 60s graduate. And we're speaking with Mr. Desmond Green this evening. And he's sharing his memories with us of graduating from Michael Training College, as it was then called.
That's right.
And with that said, I just want to give another little tidbit about Michael. And it said here, spearheaded by Sir Thomas Fowell Buxton.
Buxton, yes.
And I know that Buxton was another school that I'm hoping that someone will come from there to interact with us. And I see that we have a hand up, so I'm going to open up the mic if you don't mind. to a guest from 954274. Good evening. Your mic is open. Welcome to the backyard. You have Margaret and Simon.
Hello?
Who do I have?
Hello.
Hello.
Carl.
Oh, hi, Carl. Would you like to tell the listeners where you're calling from?
I'm in a plantation, Florida.
Oh, great. Welcome to the backyard.
Yes.
Yes.
I heard this gentleman talking about farm school. That was another school I went to.
Oh, okay.
Really?
But,
where was this that you went to farm school? Where was it?
1953, I think it was. It used to be at Hope. It used to be at Papine.
Yes.
Ah.
That's where they are, the Cass University now.
Oh,
yeah.
And what was the name of it?
Jamaica School of Agriculture.
Oh,
Yes.
They moved from there to Victim Park. I spent time at both places.
Okay.
Ah, interesting. You mean both there and Michael?
No,
I lived at Michael College. I went to JSA. But one at Hope, and then they moved the school to a brand new school in Spanish Town, Twickenham Park.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Spent a year there.
You see, JSA and Michael were the two prestigious institutions for people who didn't go off to university or abroad, you know?
I understand. Yeah, I remember that someone mentioning that there was a school called Buxton. I'm hoping that a Buxton graduate will step up to the plate and give us some information about what life at Buxton was. And I'm wondering if that Buxton had to do with this Buxton I'm reading about. Because this Buxton was chairman of the Michael Trustees from 1836. Well, not him, but perhaps some of his siblings or his descendants. The trustees from 1836 to 1845. And then their trust was supplemented by the Negro Education Grant. Now listen to this: four teachers' college and 300 elementary schools were set up by the charity in the British colonies. All over in different places. This was during the period of apprenticeship, 2 years before full and emancipation. In Jamaica, the Michael Training College, as it was then named, started with, listen to this, two male students and one female. It was set up to train British teachers to teach the children of the ex-slaves. Once referred to as the Poor Man's University, it started where the current campus of Kingston Technical High School is located on Hanover Street and moved to its present address in 1896 as the Michael College. Isn't that something? And it is the sole survivor of all the other schools that were set up all over the British colonies.
Wow.
Isn't that something? I'm telling you.
That is fantastic.
Yes.
I was telling one of the, when I was at Michael some time ago, one of the trustees came to visit because they come every now and then.
Yes.
So I was just observing to him that the Michael is such a distinguished place that there is no, previously when Britain was in its heydays, the sun didn't set on the British Empire,
Where did it set on?
Yeah.
What did it set on?
Whatever, wherever the sun was, it was shining on one of the pieces of the empire.
Oh, I got you.
Yes. So I was observing to him, and quite humbly and honestly, that the Maiko was a place where the sun couldn't set on its influence, because in every country that there was a Maikonian doing something in all of the hemispheres.
Right.
Africa, Asia, Europe, the Americas, wherever you could put your finger, there was a Maikonian doing something significant.
Wow. And I don't even know if the students there now know the relevance of the place, because, it has survived a long time.
That's right. It's
stronger now. I mean, it's expanded. They're doing a lot more educationally, and it's a full-fledged university now.
Oh yes.
Yes. So that it's just wonderful. Just wonderful. I mean, I'm just really so thrilled when I get these nuggets of wisdom that I can share, because perhaps unlike a lot of my fans, I was not particularly interested in history when I was growing up in Jamaica.
Okay.
And initially when I came here, I was really focused on getting my higher education and then raising my family and all of that. And now that I have retired and have taken this on as a passion, I'm just like a little girl that is discovering all these neat things about my country and about
my
culture and about this history. And I'm like a kid in a candy store.
That is so right.
I just feel rejuvenated and, oh my gosh, I'm going to learn something new this evening. So every time I do the research, I don't know, people perhaps think I'm a little crazy. But when I find something out like what I just shared with you, I just feel excited about it.
Of course. We have a wonderful country called Jamaica, Margaret and Carl, if you're there. And we haven't really started yet in terms of fulfilling our potential.
Right. Because and, I am hoping, it is my hope that the people who come by to listen to the show, because people come by once we have, a lot of people have different things going on Wednesday evening. Some have prayer meeting or they're, doing something else. And the other generation is busy with their children, getting the homework done or whatever they do. And some of the retirees are not very technical, so they might not be listening online. But I am hoping, all of these shows are archived in the clouds, as I call it.
Yes.
And when during the time we were living our history, we didn't have access to this technology, because now you're talking about writing an essay that won that contest, and you don't even really remember the content. But
think about
it.
That's
the children
so right.
writing anything now, I'm putting it in the clouds. Once it's online, it will be there forever.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Something?
Isn't that exciting?
So we have come from the pen and ink. That can be destroyed. Pen, ink, and paper. Because I tell people a lot of times is that one of the reasons I'm excited about this technology in the preservation of our culture is that you can't destroy it.
Yeah.
So a lot of the culture now is being recorded because it's instant. The children and young people can do something, any part of the world, including in Jamaica, and in 2 seconds, the whole world can know about it.
Two
seconds. They put it on their Facebook or on their whatever and tweet it to somebody or send a video to somebody, and it's there, and it cannot be retracted. You can't take it away.
That's
once
right.
It's there. But the period we lived, it can be destroyed, and a lot of it have been destroyed. In my case, I had a house fire, a lot of artifacts from my mother and her mother and things that I had saved over the years went up, poof!
Wow.
You know what I mean? And they don't exist anymore. But here we have this wonderful tool that I'm encouraging the seniors to really make good use of.
That's right.
And leave so that the next generation, we might think that they're not interested now, and perhaps they aren't.
Yeah.
But perhaps when they get to be my age, they might be interested in knowing, I wonder what life was like. I wondered what happened then. Because even now, I am not in touch with what is happening in Jamaica. And a lot of times I've asked people on the board, do you know what is going on now about a particular situation, as sometimes in the schools and, you know, different things that I may discuss. But, you know, what we do here will be here for our children, grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren, even if we don't have children,
That's right.
Other people's children that can relate to our children being Jamaicans or Jabrits or Jacans, or I call everybody from a different country with the Ja in front
yes.
of it. So their children and their children's children could have access to the information we leave. So
that's
with that
right.
said, I want to remind the listeners and the fans on the board and the listeners listening online that I really, really appreciate your support. And
okay.
I ask you to help expand it by telling your friends what we do and why we do it. Because Carl and Desmond, I believe that the best history that can be written is the people who live the history to
That's
write
right.
their own history.
That is
it's
so
somebody
right.
else writing about us.
That's
Let
it.
Us leave a legacy by stating what we lived.
That is so right. That is so right. Jamaica has given me what I have. And I just want to share it back with Jamaica.
We're having a lot of background noise, so I don't know who it's coming from. I might have to close the mic. But go on, it's cleared up now.
Yes. I'm just saying, I just want to thank Jamaica while I'm alive for the gift of its wealth that it has given me. And with the elementary schools and Michael and the culture, you know, because
yes.
whether we realize it or not, Jamaica is coming from a place where the community was family and the community cared for its children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our story.
Right, right.
So, we do have a wonderful legacy, and I thank you again for taking the time out to create a platform where we can flush out this history to share with those who weren't at the, you might call it, at the front gate or in the front row.
Uh-huh.
Now they can get a glimpse of it.
Yes, yes, yes. I know that,
program.
You know, the next generation will be using this kind of technology. You know, it's, the way we communicated will soon be extinct.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yes.
But I am just really exuberant about the fact that I have come so far, you know, from, as we said, the genib,
right?
Yes, to now, they have technology that you can speak into and it writes for you.
Yes.
You know, I have it on my computer. I don't use it very much. But, you know, you will talk to it. Of course, in my accent, it gets mixed up. I write the wrong words. So.
Okay.
But, you know, we have come so far from the torch and the lamplight.
Yes.
So, you know, you can clap your hands and the light go on, or just walk into a room and the light go on.
Yes.
And it's just beautiful. I think we had the best of both worlds growing up in Jamaica when we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I know coming to the United States when I did.
Yeah.
You know, in the late 50s, early 60s. So I'm just happy to share my stories and my experiences. And I want to thank all of the participants over the years and those who have come up to the plate to help me with this, what it was in Jamaica in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s as far as education is concerned.
That is
and
very
I'm
right.
asking you all to spread the word. I'm getting really ready to expand backyardlavish.com a little more so that we can also use that as a platform to, you know, congregate and exchange ideas. And I'm always open for ideas for material to be shared on this particular show. This show is specifically dedicated to leaving a legacy, to leaving a living legacy of, you know, the period we lived in Jamaica. And there are several times when I go back to another period that was not documented that have, you know, really produced some very important documentation. And I use the material from some of our historians, Dr. Joy Lumsden and Dr. Rebecca Tortello, and another book, The Encyclopedia of Jamaica, that are authentic documentation of the history. You know, there's a lot of documentation of the history, but it's not all of it that is really accurate and can be verified.
Yes.
So
yes,
with
indeed.
That said, I really want to thank you, Desmond, for sharing all of that wonderful story about Christiana. I've heard of Christiana. I've never been there. Carl, have you ever been there?
Yes, I've been to Christiana. Very cool place.
Oh, yes. I've just passed through Mandeville. I've never spent any time in Mandeville. And
yes.
I have never been to Christiana. So, you know, I passed through those Mandeville on my way. I had been passing through as a child on my way to Westmoreland, where my relatives are from. So we always pass through Mandeville.
Yes, don't you?
I'm familiar with the temperature change, you know?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And when Carl speaks of Christiana as being cold, you know, they used to put jello on the roof of some houses and it would gel at night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. No. Sorry?
I was talking about another place called close by called Coleyville.
Yes, man. Coleyville, man. Yes, definitely.
The actual name of the place?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Coleyville.
Yes.
Wow. You know, I did a show on the interesting names of Jamaica. Yes. And I want to tell the fans that may come by later that everything is archived. Every show we have done over almost 3 years have been archived. So if you just go through the shows, you can pick one out that you may want to listen to. And just if you want to share it, just copy the URL and mail that URL to whoever you think may have an interest in the show. and they can listen to the show anytime. But I did a show on the interesting names that was chosen for some of these districts, because a lot of people know, you know, the names like Mandeville and Christiana and Spanish Town and all that. But there are little villages within those parishes that you never heard of.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm always inviting the fans to bring new material to the show so that we can have some more interesting subjects to discuss. So with that said, I want to thank both of you gentlemen and all the other listeners online. And if you would like, do you have some closing statements, Mr. Carl?
Well, I just enjoyed the show immensely. It was a very good presentation, and I congratulate the speaker.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate your support. And Mr. Desmond, I want to just mention to the listeners, if you were listening earlier, for those who may come by later, I have been so intrigued with the Moods channel, and it can be accessed online, and it's just the Moods with an S channel. And if you want to really change your mood, and if you just want to get into a very restful, relaxing mood, whatever you do with it, when you want, type in that channel in your browser, and you will be transported to a very, very restful mood. And you can always use that time to transport yourself back to your backyard, on top of your roof, on the beach, wherever, and enjoy the beautiful sceneries through looking really at the wonderful wildlife that is on the Moods channel itself. But failing that, you can, in your imagination, go back to whatever place you were in Jamaica that brought you peace and joy. So I invite you all to experience the moodchannel.com.
Thank you. Thank you. T-H-E, for those who are listening, T-H-E-M-O-O-D-S-C-H-A-N-N-E-L.com.
Yes.
One
yes.
word.
That's
right. Jamaica's gift to the world.
Just beautiful. And I must say, your selection of the winter birds are just absolutely stunning. I'm a nature person. Where I live in Georgia, I'm in the woods.
Okay.
You know, I'm really
okay.
in the woods.
So, yes.
I love nature around me. I'm just having a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, anything that is nature. And I next week, I'll perhaps bring to my listeners' attention, one of my fans just sent me an email, I didn't have time for it tonight, about a part of Jamaica that is being considered for tourist development. And according to this particular article, you know, it's going to change the ecology of that particular part of Jamaica that is home to some very rare birds.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps I'll hopefully, I don't know who I'm interviewing next week, but we'll have to talk about that a little for the nature lovers that might have, you know, the desire for some preservation on our wonderful country to sort of even energetically send some good thoughts about it so that the best, it can be used for the best possible purposes.
That's right.
So with that said, Mr. Carl, thank you for being with us and for participating in the Labrish.
My pleasure.
And Mr. Desmond, I really enjoyed your presentation. And could, as you were talking, go back to, you know, special things in my growing up. I grew up in Kingston, but absolutely loved going to the country.
Yes,
which
indeed.
Time, you know, Savlamar is the capital of Westmoreland. Most people may know that. And it wasn't really a country, but it was more country than Kingston.
Yes.
And when I went there, if I could go to Little London or one
yes.
of my aunts had a little property out in Grotto, and if I could get out from there or go to wherever I went, it was just such pleasure for me. So I was born and raised in Kingston, but a really country girl at heart.
Okay.
So
that is wonderful.
I use the Moods channel to go to Christiana with you and
yes.
put on my sweater and feel the cold.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So thank you, Margaret, and we will continue to radiate Jamaica's energy to the world and establish our presence and make our presence felt wherever we are.
Yes.
Thanks for doing your share to keep Jamaica
visible. In the backyard here, you know, we only celebrate. We celebrate,
yes.
enlighten, and we preserve the wonderful, the rich, rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land
yes.
we love.
Yeah,
so with that said, I see a hand up on the board. I'd like to welcome them. We do have a little more time, so let me open the mic to 631-451. Welcome to the backyard. You have Margaret, Carl, and Desmond.
Hi, Margaret. Janine from Long Island. Haven't been for a while.
Yes, welcome to the backyard. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great.
I just want to come on and say to Edmund, it was really nice of him to share his growing up with us. And I've heard of Christiana, but I've never been there. But my husband...
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, my husband, who was from Clarendon, he told me about how cold Christiana was.
Yes.
But I've never experienced it, but I've heard of it because I'm also from Kingston, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was so good listening to, you know, what you had to say. And it's really encouraging because, you know, although you decided to do the plantation, whatever, you
yeah.
saw the necessity of going back to school, which was really good, you know, and
thanks.
I'm sure you achieved from it.
Thank you for sharing, and I hope one of these days you'll be able to experience the beauty of Christiana.
Yeah.
I'll take
Margaret with me. So.
Right. And before we go, I just want to mention to our listeners that Mr. Desmond Green is an author of several books and also a lecturer.
Wow.
And right now you can learn more about him at the moodschannel.com.
That is so great.
Thank
you.
So
with that said, good night all. And
good night.
I always close the show with, make it a
great week. Amen.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. And
good night, Desmond, Carl, and Margaret.
Yes.
Thank you, my dear.
Backyard has been a wonderful experience tonight.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
God bless
you all.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.